It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Yes, indeed it is. Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Everything AFL in the Sunshine State. And, well, we love this week. Twice a year, in fact, we get a feel about the town. You know what we've been looking forward to. It's Q Clash Week. But right now we've got to dissect exactly what went down the weekend. Prize, I look to my left to see my man Jack Fulham, who, well, he's had a quieter weekend than usual. We'll get to that in a second. Jacko, how are you, mate?
I'm fantastic, mate. This is Southeast Queensland football Christmas.
It is,
and we got it twice a year.
It is the greatest rivalry in AFL, and I won't hear a word against it. Will Rolston down in Melbourne, how are you, mate?
I'm well, boys. Yes, you can feel it down here too. The tension is palpable on street level. It's all anyone's talking about.
I imagine there's a four-page spread in the Herald Sun, Scotty Gullen's whisper column. Ooh, how's Duke Miller shaping up for another Dane Zorko bout? Surely that spark has to reignite, and we're looking forward to Sunday afternoon
We haven't seen Tuke and Dane get it on quite a while.
No, I think they've matured. Point. I think now that they're both captains, I think they can't do that anymore. But maybe this weekend, just once again for old time's sake, I'd love to see that.
And Tuke Miller is a much bigger name now than back then. I think people wouldn't have even heard of him
It was kind of just a pesky tagger back then.
See, now you've got two potential, or you've got two All-Australians who can duke it out. I love the idea of that, Jack.
Well, maybe we need to create a new rumble in the Q Clash, like a Matt Rau versus Cam Rayner, because they're both very sort of nuggety, bullish types.
Matt Rau is too nice for that.
Exactly.
He's not.
No, but Matt Rau taking a heel turn.
You're right.
There have been genuine rivalries over the journey, though, obviously, with Stephen May absolutely shirt fronting Steph Martin, and then Harris Andrews and Tom Lynch had a good thing going there for a while.
Okay, it's possible. Witsy
and Big Oscar.
Okay, I like that.
That would be fun.
I like that.
Heavyweight bout.
Okay. Oh, can you just imagine the two of them just throwing haymakers Lynchy style at each other? Yeah. I would love that. Well, look, we can't get to that just yet because we'll focus on the weekend just gone, and it feels like forever ago. And I have to say, I wasn't there at the game on Thursday night, but leaving work, and I could see a flood of Lions fans and Pies fans heading to the Gabba, heading to the mecca that is the Concrete Cauldron. For once, Brisbane felt like a footy town, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and we got a serious contest. The Lions getting up by 7 points in the end. Will, I don't think the margin's something we need to take into consideration here. The Pies threw everything at it, but the Lions did exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, just first touching on your point, it is satisfying from the perspective of a fan that really cares about club financials and things like that. Just seeing finally a full Gabba full of mainly Brisbane Lions supporters able to get to the footy, earn us $1 million, and it's just very comforting to know that we are still able to do that in these troubled times. So a good win for the club on that front. But then, the game, very similar to how we've kind of been notching up wins in 2022. We've put on a 15-minute burst. This one came in the second quarter. We kicked it, I think it was like 6 in 16 minutes. And from there, it was just arm's length, peg one back, kick a couple the other way. And then, obviously they kicked one really late, but it felt like it was just about done with 10 minutes to go in the last, but wasn't comfy. I didn't love watching it, to be honest.
Jacko, how did you make of the debut of this man? Because we had him on the Rush Hour of Lisa Lehman Dobbo earlier, and Oscar McInerney let us in on his nickname.
Oh, yeah, the Grug. He's an exciting He sort of looks like that character from those storybooks.
The Grug. How did the Grug go?
The Grug, Kai Lohman. He was... Look, he didn't touch the footy all that often. He was busy. He put on a lot of pressure. He did some really clever things. Like he had this outside of the foot check side that went about 20 metres to set up Joey Danaher. And you just have the feel that he is going to be a player. He has the spunk for it. There was a couple of times where sort of spot fires broke out on the ground with a bit of pushing and shoving, and he was the first one to get into it. So you can tell his teammates really love him, and the Grug is one of the great nicknames.
Yeah, you could tell. I think the first time the ball had gotten within 10 metres of his vicinity in his AFL career, he's flown for what would have been mark of the century. And then you're right, he just has craft. You can tell he's always trying to keep the ball alive and tapping it onto teammates in better positions, and crafty little kicks. kicks outside of the boot. I really like what he brought. Whether he can maintain his spot, I think it's going to take an impressive second game. I assume we'll give him a second game.
Well, that's the question I was going to put to both of you, because now Kadeem Coleman is ready to come back, and that dash of halfback is exactly what we need. As we remember, he was one of the Lions' best players in the final series. But what happens here? Because Zorks has been doing an amazing job across the halfback line again, second in the team for score assists. Do you drop Lohman? Like, now, Noah Answorth has been sensational. He's returned to footy. Cal Archie, again, I thought he was great on Thursday night. So maybe, unfortunately, Grug might have to be dropped this week.
It's true. You don't drop Answorth and you don't drop Archie. It's two things you cannot do at the moment. So I don't know. I'm always happy to just let the selection team worry about it rather than
It's not our job.
I feel like they are stocked in the back half, the Lions, especially with Zorko moving back there, Dan Rich, Stasevich, plus all the keys. I feel like you don't need another running halfback.
But then it's Kitty. And Nick's right. His finals performance, it's the last time we've really seen him. He was electrifying.
Yeah, he was definitely the difference in that game against Melbourne. I thought he was sensational. But you're right. Look, fortunately, Brisbane have patched that area that only a little while ago desperately needed numbers in. But I think I'd love to see game time get into Coleman now, just to have as many stocks ready and firing come back into the season.
I'd like to see the Grug get another one, but I'm a little bit biased.
I'm not a big one game and drop fan at all. I think if you're giving them one, you're giving them two.
No, you don't want to be a test selector for Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a similar thing. You know, how many tests can Marcus Harris play?
Also, the Grug kicked me one of those little Auskick footies that they hand out after the game. He kicked one to me
You are not the size of a child. You could not be mistaken for a child in any way. So I naturally assume that you have dived across a child to take that.
Yeah.
Well, the kid that was like, yeah, basically leaning across the fence going, like, kick me the footy. He has just misjudged the flight something fierce. He's fallen over his own feet, and I've just sort of come out the back and just taken an easy chest mark. And
I reckon you have reached over him.
I reckon he's put a knee in the back of the head.
I've gone full Mason Cox on him and just put that knee right in the back of his kidney. No, I haven't. But I did give the kid the footy because I felt really bad. And also,
that's good.
Also, my girlfriend told me to.
And how many mini footies does a man need?
The limit does not exist.
It's above 10.
I will say on that note, Dizzy Gardner's hit on Dacos, only just a $2,000 fine. I think he did what he could to try and nullify the contact. Yeah,
I thought that was very, very crude.
Okay. Well, I thought it was
ridiculous, and I'm stunned he didn't get suspended. I'm actually quite irritated that he didn't get suspended, as a Lions nuffy. I thought it was ridiculous what he did.
Yeah. To a defenseless opponent, so I didn't like it.
Well, I guess in the end, Garner did know he was in the wrong, unlike Harris Andrews, who just demonstratively put those big arms out. And that would be intimidating for anyone. He's got a very big wingspan. That's an intimidating prospect.
This was one of the most bizarrely umpired games that I've seen.
The umpiring seemed to come in momentum as well.
Yeah.
It was really strange. Every team had their go. And I was wearing my Lions scarf on the tram after it because I'd gone to a pub in Richmond and a couple of Pies supporters was like, oh, yeah, oh, umpire's best friends, Lions. And I was to them, I was like, are you kidding me?
Were they grown adults?
Yeah, all grown adults. So I was just like,
thing? I thought
I'm
going to
leave this one.
You're leaving Auskick.
No run, Manus.
No, I don't think so. All right, well.
Quickly, before we move on, a bit of Joe Love because.
Best forward in the comp. Best forward in the comp. I'm going to put it out
We take the piss out of him as much as anyone, but he's no longer just playing like a good game for someone who could have done better. He is now winning us games of football. His four goals were all brilliant and they were vital.
Well, it doesn't bode well, if that's the case, for the Lions opponents this weekend. Gold Coast Suns went down to the Saints on Saturday. I thought up to half time they were right in the game and it was anyone's for the taking, but just started to fall away. St Kilda many times this season have kicked away in that third quarter and the Suns just couldn't go with them. I thought Jai Farrell was great down in defence for that first half, just clunking a lot of intercept possessions, but after that, they just couldn't match him, and then it was at arm's length for the rest of the game.
Well, I think especially after halftime, the Suns' intensity really dropped off, and that's where the Saints took it to another gear. But while it was a disappointing defeat, the thing I really love from the Suns this year is that they aren't getting blown off the park. Like, they were clearly not the better team on Saturday afternoon, but they were still within reach late into the game. Even the game a few weeks ago against the Giants, where they stunk up the joint. They still only lost by 26 points, where the Suns of old are losing those games by 10 goals plus. So
I think their form, if we look in a few weeks' time, the Giants game is going to be a bit of an aberration. They've played some really good opposition, and let's not look away from the fact that the Saints are currently in the top four. They murdered Hawthorn the week before, who have just beaten Geelong. They're playing decent sides, and they stayed with them. They were really with them for most of this contest. I managed to get to this. I don't get to see the Suns with my own eyes very often, as you can appreciate down here. But I like what they did. There were times when they would move through the corridor from defence and they looked like a really competent football side. And then there are some times where, you know, the wheels fall off. But it looked like a point in that second quarter that I thought the Suns were genuinely going to run away with it.
They're still a work in progress. Like, we can all admit that. But, yeah, one of the great things with them this year is that they are holding teams. Round one, they gave up 80 points. Round two, against the defending premiers, they gave up 82 points. Even the Giants, where they were well beaten, still only gave up 83 points.
Good.
Kept the Blues to 62. And then the Saints, you know, who have been in red-hot form, kicking big scores over 100 points, kept them to 87 points. They are not giving up those big scores. And I think that's got to say a lot about the job that Sam Collins is doing. Ballard looks really, looks like an absolute rock down there. Their key backs are probably gone from one of the worst defensive units in the comp to having a bunch of really solid performers. And that's a huge growth area, especially Sam Collins. He probably is the most underrated key defender in the comp.
I was also very happy to see Oleg Markov back in the side. Worked his way back up from the VFL, 21 touches throughout the game. He needs to be in that team, and he just needs to hit the right vein of form. So very happy to see him back in there. Just a quick one. I think we've discussed this before on the podcast. We love Big Mabby Orchal. He's already broken his own record for goals in a season. But if I hear one more journalist or report refer to his athleticism this season, I'm going to lose it.
It's just lazy, isn't it?
It's lazy. It's very lazy. So, well, where are we? We're round five. Can we just put a line through that? Never to hear that used again.
Chol athleticism watch.
I don't think we can ask much more of Big Levi down there as well.
Yeah.
I think people are looking to say, oh, look, he's down there. He's a big target. He's a key forward. Yes, but he was brought in late. He's doing exactly the job the Suns need him to do, but I don't think you can ask him to go to another level. I think people need to rise to what's around him.
When you see what Max King is currently doing for St Kilda, it's so frustrating.
to see exactly what could be.
When you've got his clone at the other end, and he's exactly what they need. If you could just put Max King into that side, it would be such a big difference. But yeah, Big Mabs and Big Levi, they're doing their best. They're never going to be A-graders.
This was actually Levi's first game this season without a contested grab.
Oh, there you go.
And he's kicked a goal in every match this season.
He's doing all he can.
Bargain basement, he's doing his best, guys.
Look, the Suns are missing Lukosius in his best form. And as we spoke about last week, a combination of at least one of Rankin and Roses need to be on fire. So I'm now going to put it to the both of you as we come into the storied rivalry, the clash that all the AFL looks forward to, Q Clash 22. For playing,
22.
Playing, of course, for the Jared Lyons Perpetual Trophy. How do the Gold Coast win this one?
Oh.
I'm going to flip it. How do the Gold Coast win this game?
Well, it's a tough one.
It's been played down at Carrara. And Jack, I know your thoughts about the Lions playing at Carrara.
Yeah, we're not good there.
Well, just knowing how the Lions play, which is, you know, breaking even for three and a bit quarters and then surging for 15 to 20 minutes. When the surge comes, just put all your numbers behind the footy. Just
park the bus.
Levi's going down
back. Park the bus. Levi goes down back. Every time we've seen the Suns at Metricon this year, which is twice, they almost knocked off the reigning premiers in an absolute beauty and then put an absolute number on Carlton.
Yeah.
They've been good at home this year. Sunday afternoon, hopefully they're going to get a good crowd down there.
Get in the plunge pool.
The Lions are coming off, you know, like a nice win in their biggest game of the year. Might be a bit of an adrenaline dump for the Lions. I wouldn't be surprised if the Suns do ambush them. And
it's certainly very droppable for the Lions. I can just feel it. And we were just saying before, if you clamp down on Lachie Neale, if you make him accountable, Jared Witts is the best ruckman on the ground. They've got a young, developing midfield that's starting to show a bit of promise. Took Miller, seeing him with my own eyes for one of the first times, I think he is a stunning footballer. And I don't know, if you can just clamp down on our forward line, which has so many different alleys, but, you know, Lincoln McCarthy didn't kick a goal on the weekend. If you can just force a few bad games out of a few players, we're definitely beatable.
And if I was the Suns coach, I would just be sending maybe someone like a Ben Ainsworth, maybe Alex Sexton if he's in the side, to go and tag Dane Zorko off halfback.
Get under
his skin. Completely take him out of the game. Because if Dane Zorko, and I've said this previous weeks. If he touches the footy 30 times off half back, he will destroy you. Because he's such a good user of the footy. He's cool, he's calm, he's composed with it. He finds a target and he sets up a lot of those line scoring chains. So don't let him touch the footy.
That's very simple stuff, Suns fans. 4:40 Sunday afternoon, Q Clash 22. We can't wait here at Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure. Will Ralston, Jack Fulham, Nick Davis, thank you again for joining us, boys. We'll be back next week. Well, this one's really up in the air. Got no idea how it's going to go. Q Clash 22. We can't wait.